Let's walk to the roof.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
How about a little acid as we go up the elevator? That is a technical feature. Oh, yes. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is 1904 UTC on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon here on the roof. It's Tuesday, May the 16th, 2023. And it is a whole 25 degrees C, allegedly, right now here in Austin, Texas. Not sure. It's definitely less humid than it was yesterday. And as you can tell by the lack of thunder, it's a lot less raining on me. We're able to be up on the roof even. We're just walking to get to some shade so we can see the cellular display, but man, the birds are singing. Visibility is pretty good. One of the things, there's a water tower in the next town over. Well, two water towers that I can see from the roof. When the visibility's good, like, I guess they'd say unlimited, or like many miles. And so when I can see those, I'm like, all right, it's going to be an okay day. Alrighty, here we go as I get to the seated spot. I tell you, if you want to chat and hang out during the show, all you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org. Or if you want to be cool, you can do tty.sdf.org. Once you do that, it'll log you into a shell, and you just run com, press G for go to, you press enter, then you press G for go to, and type anon radio, all lowercase, all one word, and you'll be hanging out with cool people, like Claudio M, and Ratsu, and X1, so welcome, welcome. The metal box, not the best for broadcasting. But I wanted to let you all know that it was happening. We were making our way out. I was summoned because two different people. So I'm in charge of different stuff, right? But there's a closet we have. I may have talked about this before. But there's a closet we have, or a little lab network. And there are still about four computers in that network that I got to make sure they don't go offline. Because... Well, nobody knows where they are but me. when they turn off, everybody knows where I am, so they get on my case. Well, anyway, long story short, they were offline. So I went in there and I thought, oh, maybe the power went out, because the power goes out to that building all the time. Restart all the devices, and I'm about to leave when I notice that it restarted, but it is not happy. I look and it's like, oh, there's no network connectivity. And I'm looking around, everything's plugged in, UPS is plugged in. And then I go around to the front of the rack and the UPS has a sticker on it that says gone bad. And that's it. That's the only notice. So sure as shit, somebody had noticed the UPS or APU, whatever you want to call it, that it had gone bad, turned it off, unplugged it, but did not plug in the router that was plugged into the battery backup anywhere. So now the router's plugged in without a battery backup because, well, there wasn't one in the room, but all the devices are back online, that's for sure. Anyway, Claudium knows that feeling quite well, so phew, I'm glad I'm not alone. And shout out to Ratsu, thank you for being here, hanging out. Jealous of my friend Eck, he's walking by with a Mexican soda. We call them Mexican sodas here in Texas. I don't know if you guys call them that. They're Coca-Cola that's imported from Mexico that has cane sugar in it, and they come in glass bottles. Do you guys have that where you're from? Let me know. But yeah, I am living on the edge. We've synced our Firefox, so let's check out the news. There's a lot going on. Plenty of death and destruction. Of course, as you know, we always start off with world news, where the most death and destruction happens, non-domestic death. But there is plenty of death to go around. So at least 6 people are dead in New Zealand as a hostel fire. 6 dead New Zealand hostel fire as survivors had to choose whether to jump out of the window or just burn. That's right. This was not a peaceful or civil fire. It was hostile. At least 6 people have died and 11 more remain missing on Tuesday after a fire broke out at a 4-story hostel housing vulnerable people in New Zealand. Oh, they're vulnerable people, not backpackers. Emergency services were called to the Loafers Lodge Hostel in the capital city of Wellington just after midnight on Tuesday. Though dozens escaped safely from the building, with some having to be rescued from the roof. Oh no, I'm on the roof. Officials said there were still 11 people unaccounted for, as well as 6 confirmed dead. I understand 6 confirmed previously, and it looks like there's likely to be more, Prime Minister Chris Hipkins said. A local charity said that many of the hostel's residents had been vulnerable people under its care, describing the fire as an absolute disaster. Sorry for making light of it. The rescue was impeded by safety concerns about firefighters entering the flame-gutted and partially collapsed building, which had no sprinkler system. Officials say the hospital was full nearly to capacity when fire broke out, with only a small number of its 92 rooms not booked. It doesn't get much worse than this, said Nick Pyatt, district manager for New Zealand's National Fire and Emergency Agency. This is a once-in-a-decade fire for Wellington. It's the worst nightmare for us. My heartfelt condolences go to the loved ones of those who have lost their lives. So, yeah, one of the worst possible ways to die, in my opinion, getting burned up. I mean, at least you, if you are lucky, you'll succumb to smoke inhalation and then be just burned up while you're unconscious. If you're unlucky, you'll be burning and then lose consciousness. Either way, terrible way to go. Claudia M knows about Mexicoke. Publis calls them bootleg Mexicoke. Hey, bite me 8827. Even though I wasn't born in the early to mid-80s, I still have a fondness for the technology of the earlier years. I still love to hang around the community. Oh. Oh. yeah. Hell. Everything in Wellington is straight up and down. Owing to the challenging geography. Ah, thank you, Publius. I was curious why there were no fire escapes. Sounds like an interesting thing. I didn't know that about their geography. So it's kind of like a San Francisco kind of thing. It's lots of really tall stuff. Many people dead is news, and a single person dead is a tragedy or something like that. You guys told me this saying in comm before. Well, the body of a 4-year-old boy who went missing on Mother's Day has been found. I guess you're still a mother, even if your only child's gone. Mohamed Abu Fofana disappeared while playing at a park near the South Boston shoreline at about 7 p.m. on Sunday. His body was spotted by a police boat around a mile from the park on the banks of Spectacle Island at 12:29 p.m. on Monday. According to police, Mohammed was with an older sister and a family member, later identified as his grandfather, at Castle Island, a peninsula in Boston Harbor. His grandfather reportedly lost sight of Mohammed while talking on his cell phone and called 911 at 7:30 to report the disappearance. Police launched a massive operation by air, water, and sea using helicopters, drones, and boats. The U.S. Coast Guard, State Police, and the Boston Police and Fire Departments were involved. Mohammed's mother, Matanjay Fofana, earlier pleaded for help from the public to find her son. If people see Mohammed, please give him to the police or police people or call 911, she told reporters to NBC Boston. And I'm being given a promoted story. Men, you don't need the blue pill if you do this once daily. And it has a picture of a woman with large breasts laying in a bed. I'm glad they're like, hey, this is a story about a child dying. Why don't you make a new child? She told news outlets that Mohammed had autism, was nonverbal, and had a tendency to wander off. Just before 2 p.m., Massachusetts State Police confirmed with much sadness that they'd located the body. Checking in on Calm over here. Technically a gray market import, I guess. Yeah, I guess so. LCD pointing out, I was born in the early 80s, but I have a fondness for tech from the 70s. Publius has been in Wellington. It's in a fjord. Oh, that's cool. Hey, Alpha Lux, welcome, welcome. From XCOM. XCOM is where the where new people get sent, as if I remember correctly. But anyway, welcome, welcome. Thanks for being here and hanging out. There is so much death and destruction, and we're already at 1915 UTC, so 1913, I guess. Let's get another story in before we start talking. So we talked about one boy dead. Well, don't worry. Now let's talk about one girl dead. A girl was killed and seven others, including a teacher and female student, sustained injuries after a police officer posted outside a school in Khyber Pakhtunkhwa's SWAT district opened fire on them. According to District Police Officer Shafiullah Gandupar, the constable identified as Alam Khan was arrested immediately after the attack and a first information report was registered against him. A special investigation team has been formed to make further investigation into the matter. I assure everyone that strict legal punishment will be given to the culprit. Gandapur said that the accused hailed from the Salempur area and was suspended from the police force twice. Khan was reinstated in the police department last year and was deployed outside the school for security 3 months back. He added that the wounded persons were moved to the Saidu Sharif Teaching Hospital and an emergency has been imposed at the facility. Meanwhile, one of the injured girls, who is currently being treated at the hospital, told Dawn.com, that's the site I'm at, Dawn.com, one of my friends from Pakistan recommended it to me for Pakistani news. That the suspect opened indiscriminate fire on their van as soon as it exited the school gate. All the school children got scared and started shouting, after which people started gathering. After the gruesome incident was reported, KP Inspector General Akhtar Hayat Gandapur took notice of the shooting and visited the injured children, along with the Malakand Regional Police Office, Sir Nasir Mahmood Dosti, DPO Gandapur, and SWAT Deputy Commissioner Ifranawala Wazir. A statement issued by the police said that the RPO Malakand directed hospital authorities to ensure the best treatment for the injured girls. So, a sad time indeed. Oh man, we got some heavy equipment coming down the road. Yep, it was a large flatbed tow truck. Oh man. I am a lot annoyed by Teslas because their drivers do not being at a tech job, there's a lot of Teslas here. And just in general, in Austin, there's a lot of Teslas. And it is very annoying because drivers do not properly turn in them. They just kind of veer in the direction they're going. I don't know what the deal is, but everyone I've seen driving a Tesla, instead of making a sharp turn, they just kind of go towards their turn at like an angle, and they often cut into the oncoming traffic lane. I'm not sure why. Anyway, Tobe never gets to go to New Zealand. I'm sorry about that. Oh man, it is 1916 UTC, which means it's time for me to tell you that we've only got about 14 minutes to go before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, the show that airs every goddamn day at 1930 UTC, right here on Anon Radio. So stick around, check it out. There's all sorts of cool stuff on the radio on the way to you. All right, so let's go to the U.S. to talk about some death here, or death and destruction, I guess.
An 18-year-old gunman armed with an arsenal of automatic weapons killed 3 people and injured 6 others while firing randomly at cars and houses in New Mexico in the city of Farmington on Monday. The suspect was killed by police after wounding 2 officers. Farmington Police Chief Steve Hebe said in a video released on Monday night. The identity of the suspect and victims were not immediately released. Mr. Hebe said the gunman was armed with an AR-15-style rifle and 2 other firearms as he roamed across a quarter-mile area of the city just before 11 a.m., targeting whatever entered his head at to shoot. At least 6 houses and 3 cars were shot at, while state and local police responding to 911 calls also came under heavy fire. He called the shootings one of the most horrific and difficult days that Farmington ever had as a community. Fun side note, in the city of Austin, 911 calls are currently taking 10 to 22 minutes to be answered. So if you are shot or injured in the city of Austin, it may be better for you to call an Uber and go to the hospital because you may not get through to 911 in time. Not a joke, just a sad statement of fact. Alrighty, let's see what else is going on. There's lots more death and destruction, of course. Let's look inside of Texas. And this is in this is in Texas City. Texas City is like near League City. They're all in the suburb area of Houston, like in the south along the coast. And this is from our friends at the WSWS.org, the World Socialist website. One worker was killed and 2 others injured in a fire that erupted Monday morning at the Marathon Galveston Bay Refinery in Texas City, Texas, 40 miles southeast of Houston. The fatality is the second in less than 3 months at the nation's second largest refinery and the latest in a series of deadly accidents in the U.S. oil refinery and petrochemical industry over the last year. We haven't been talking about it much because it doesn't really rise up in the news much, but this one caught my eye. Scott Higgins, a machinist and member of United Steelworkers Local 13-1, who was nearing retirement, died from his injuries, according to sources cited by Reuters. The 2 injured workers, inspectors employed by an outside firm contracted by Marathon, were rushed to the burn unit of University of Texas Medical Branch, or UTMB. When I was in high school, I went to that medical center in Galveston, got to see preserved bodies and stuff. It was pretty cool. They had a baby in a jar, like a preserved specimen in a jar, and then they had like lots of stuff from the 1800s. It was really wild. Anyway, workers inside the facility reported the incident to the World Socialist website before the company acknowledged any victims of the fire. They haven't announced it yet, but there were multiple workers sent to the hospital, and it sounds like a fatality as well, one worker texted. Emergency response team is still out there doing recovery. Haven't heard anything about the ones that went to the hospital yet. Another told the WSWS several co-workers have been getting texts from family asking about the incident and the death. When there's a news story about a plant accident, people start asking workers what really happened, since just about everyone knows someone who works in the industry. Ain't that the truth? Another side note, since I'm from the petroleum coast of Texas, I guess, there's a oil refinery in Point Comfort, Texas, or maybe even Lolita, Texas. It depends on where the line is drawn. I worked at a plastics place factory in Lolita, Texas, but it might have been in Point Comfort. Either way, they're all close together. But Formosa Plastics right there had a big explosion once, and a girlfriend of mine at the time, her brother-in-law was one of the safety inspectors standing right next to it when it blew up. He got burned the hell up. It took a long time for him to get, like, kind of back to normal. So these are serious accidents, and it's really frustrating. Let's see what's going on in Calm. Coming from BiteMe8827, my family doesn't believe me when I state the cold fact that had it not been for innovators like Ken Thompson. Okay, this is talking more about, he's not listening to the radio, I don't think. Publius, Texas City, known for the catastrophic fertilizer explosion, known as the SS Grand Camp disaster. Let's see. The whole contractor thing is a way to dodge employment law. Yeah, that's true. I'm not going to annoy. Let's see. Hey, Publius, yeah, Formosa Plastics Company of Port Lavaca, Texas. Port Lavaca, Texas is actually about 20 minutes drive away. You got to cross this really cool bridge and pass by an Alcoa processing plant to get there. Alcoa famously dumped a bunch of mercury in that bay, and then they had to build an island to cover up the mercury. Anyway, enough about the coast of Texas and all of that stuff. Let's talk about bears.
What?
Well, just one bear. Early last Sunday morning, Mr. Toshihiro Nishikawa, was dropped off by an employee of a boat operator to fish at a spot in Lake Shumarinai in Hokkaido. When the employee returned to pick up the 54-year-old later that day, he spotted a large brown bear with fishing waders in its mouth. He tried to contact Mr. Nishikawa on the phone, but failed to reach him. After the local town office and police were informed, a bear hunt was launched, and a human head was found on the banks of a lake in Shumarinai Prefecture National Park on Monday. The police are trying to establish the identity of the victim, which is just kind of frustrating whenever things like obvious things like this happen. When my best friend got burned up in a house fire, he was like, oh, yeah, he was up there in this bed and the house burned down. Oh, we recovered remains from this bed that was on fire, but we have to wait for DNA evidence. But because we live in a rural area, we have to take this DNA and drive it like 4 hours away. It was a traumatic experience. Anyway. On May 9th, a bear was also spotted around the lake, according to Lake Shumarinai World Center, a nonprofit organization that operates the boat. So, the bear ate him. Not a cocaine bear, but that would be funny if it was. Maybe so. Ratsu letting us know, my old company bought Biebs in bulk. Every employee got the chance to buy one for $1.99 when they were $3.99. I don't know what a Biebs is, but I'm guessing it's a BBC Micro. And I don't know what a BBC Micro is just yet. All right, we've got about 7 minutes to go, so let's keep on moving. Let's talk about... oh, man, there's so much going on. So just quick notes. We won't go into details because it'll take too much time. A security guard shot and killed a transgender activist, essentially. Essentially what happened is this guy was had shoplifted about $14 worth of stuff and was leaving the store. The security guard told him to stop and tackled them. They got up. The guy that was getting attacked got up and went to leave again. And when he went to leave again, the security guard shot him and killed him. So it was ultimately killed over $14. Last week, the Board of Supervisors unanimously approved a resolution urging District Attorney Brooke Jenkins' office to release more evidence. So we'll see if there's any update, I'll let you know, but there are protests already about that. Myanmar is not following ecological regulations for teak wood exports. They're just exporting raw lumber, giant logs, you know, just the wood without actually doing any transformative work, as the law says. And get this, they've got two possible antidotes on the line here. First, drug trials are beginning on a dirty bomb antidote, the first human trial of a new type of dirty bomb antidote pill designed to remove harmful radioactive contamination for the body. The drug is called HOPO, H-O-P-O, Hotel Oscar Papa Oscar, 14-1. It's thought to work against several materials that might be used in weapons. If it proves safe and effective, it could guard against potential harm from nuclear accidents. About 42 volunteers, that's not a very large sample, 42 volunteers will try different doses, checking for side effects. There'll be intensive safety monitoring, with results from the Phase 1 study expected in 2024. So that's what's going on there. I'll let you know when we find out more, but interesting idea. I'm sure Publius has some ideas on it. And mushrooms, potential antidote found for a toxin in world's most poisonous mushroom. Chinese and Australian researchers have identified that a dye used in medical imaging can block the toxic effects. Scientists believe they found a potential antidote for a toxin found in the death cat. The death cat mushroom, or Amanita phalloides, is responsible for about 90% of mushroom-related deaths globally. Its principal toxin is a peptide called amanitin, a type of amatoxin which results in liver and kidney failure. Chinese and Australian researchers have identified the indocyanine green, a dye currently approved in the U.S. for use in medical imaging, appears to block the toxic effects. Let's jump into comm real quick. Hey, GTC 1977. Welcome, welcome. Here where the shooting... Oh, which shooting? There was a bunch. Oh, the transgender one. Let me pull that up here real quick. Boop, boop, boop. Beep, 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 beep. Oh, we got science news coming in over the wire. Beep, 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 beep. Boop, boop, boop. The San Francisco district attorney has released surveillance footage showing the fatal shooting of a 24-year-old transgender activist accused of shoplifting by a Walgreens security guard. So it was in San Francisco. They're having a crime problem right now. We're running out of time, so I'll just give you the nickel tour. Five German gang members were sentenced to prison. They were caught. They stole a bunch of diamonds. Singapore and South Africa have signed trade agreements, deepening their ties. A steelmaker in the United States is considering use of NuScale small modular reactors for a heat source, which is very exciting. I wish we had time to talk about that more. China is calling for asking if anybody needs any commercial cargo hauled up to space. China's Human Spaceflight Agency is seeking to foster a commercial, low-cost transportation system to deliver cargo to and from its space station. So that was announced just today. So if you need to get anything into space, China's looking to help you out if you'd like. And a second unit of Belarus nuclear plant connected to grid. The second unit of Belarus's first nuclear power plant has been connected to the power grid and delivered its first kilowatt hours to the country's electric system. The Ministry of Energy in Belarus said that the connection took place on Saturday at 13:24 as part of the continuing process of power startup. So, very exciting news there. Publis pointing out the German thieves broke into the State Museum in Dresden. Sorry, I always get frustrated with myself when I pick more news than we have time to use. But there's just so much cool stuff going on. A Missouri high schooler was suspended. He recorded his teacher using the N-word a lot, and the teacher got fired or put on leave. But the school student was suspended because they weren't supposed to be recording teachers. So whatever you want to take of that. And the village people are asking Trump to stop using their music. And that's all the time we got. Please enjoy the Dubious Goals Community with Tobe, and we'll see you tomorrow on Wednesday. Oh man, neither of the sounds are playing. That's all the time we have today. Please stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, show that airs every day at 19:30 UTC. Oh, look, a couple of people have come to the roof in a large